Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm so glad you joined us today. I thought it would be fun today to talk about a little bit about the history of tomorrow's holiday, Thanksgiving. And certainly, it's time. I sat up early this morning and watched the news and thought to myself, God, maybe we should have a Thanksgiving once a month to remind us all what life is all about and what we're supposed to be doing with it. The in a local town in 10 days, there's been 7 shootings. A woman opened her trunk. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but I saw it on this morning's news, and was looking for something, and there was a loaded gun in her trunk, and she moved it, and it went off and struck her 2-year-old child and killed him. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't understand what's going on, and I don't know if I ever will, to be honest with you. But I also feel very strongly about the fact that we have to get back to what we're supposed to be. We have to get back to family. We have to get back to camaraderie. We have to get back to friendship, love, caring, all of the above. Otherwise, we will be like those supposedly in the future movies like Mad Max and the Terminator and all those. That's who we're going to turn into. We've got to bring it down a notch and remember that we're human beings and we should act as such. I'm going to bring Shelly in before I start talking about, I found some wonderful, cute history about Thanksgiving, and I'm looking forward to sharing it. Good morning, Shelly.
Good morning, Rainey.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
That's good. I thought it would be fun this morning to actually share some of the history on Thanksgiving. Of course, as you grow up, you know, I was thinking to myself the other day, little kids, my David, who is now, of course, 40 and has never been a little kid. He was 10 pounds when he was born, but he was my baby, my youngest, and he never called Thanksgiving. You know what he called it?
No.
Feast Day.
Oh, gee.
as young as like 5, because he just knew that it meant that it was going to be a day of eating. So it was feast day.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
And, of course, now you hear a lot of other people call it Turkey Day and, you know, all kinds of things. So I was amused to see how much information is out there and kind of like fun facts. So we're going to go over it, and then I want to talk a little bit about family Thanksgivings and what it means to us.
Cool.
The Plymouth Pilgrims were the first to celebrate the Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims sailed across the Atlantic Ocean to reach North America. They sailed on a ship, which was known as the Mayflower. They celebrated the first Thanksgiving Day at Plymouth in Massachusetts. I hope I say this right. The Wampanoag Indians, it's Wampanoag, Wampanoag Indians were the first people who taught the Pilgrims how to cultivate the land. The Pilgrim leader, Governor William Bradford, had organized the first Thanksgiving feast in 21, a long time ago. He invited the neighboring Wampanoag Indians to the feast. The first Thanksgiving celebration lasted 3 days. Well, ours do too if you count eating leftovers, right?
That's true.
Mashed potatoes, pumpkin pies, popcorn, milk, corn on the cob, and cranberries were not foods present at the first Thanksgiving's feast table. Now listen to this, because this gives a whole new meaning to Thanksgiving. Lobster, rabbit, chicken, fish, squashes, beans, chestnuts, hickory nuts, onions, leeks, dried fruits, maple syrup and honey, radishes, cabbage, carrots, eggs, and goat cheese are thought to who have made up the first Thanksgiving feast. The pilgrims didn't use forks. They ate with spoons, knives, and their fingers. Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey to be the national bird of the United States. That would have been, I don't know, that might have been appropriate.
That's so funny. I was just thinking the same thing.
Hale, an American magazine editor, persuaded Abraham Lincoln to declare Thanksgiving a national holiday. She is also the author of the popular nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Abraham Lincoln issued a Thanksgiving proclamation on the 3rd October. On 3rd October, it must be on 3rd of October, 1863, and officially set aside the last Thursday of November as the national day for Thanksgiving. The annual Macy's Thanksgiving Parade tradition began in the 1920s. Wow, that doesn't seem possible either, huh? Almost 100 years ago for the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. We're getting old, Shel.
Oh, my God, yeah. This is all stuff I grew up on.
I know. It's funny, isn't it? In 1939, President Roosevelt proclaimed that Thanksgiving would take place on November 23rd, not November 30th, as a way to spur economic growth and extend the Christmas shopping season. So I wonder why this year it's on the last Thursday. You know, I wondered about when it came up. There must be a reason, but I don't know what it is. Congress passed a law on December 26, 1941, ensuring that all Americans would celebrate a unified Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of every November every year.
And when was that then?
That was in 41.
Oh,
and in 39, Roosevelt said it would be the third, and that's what I always thought it was, the third Thursday. And And then in 41, the Congress passed it so that it would be the fourth Thursday.
Hmm.
In 1947, the National Turkey Federation has presented a live turkey and two dressed turkeys to the president. The president does not eat the live turkey. He pardons it and allows it to live out its days on a historical farm.
Oh,
this
wow.
year, as a side note, Obama has two beautiful, I mean, if a turkey can be beautiful, I guess it's all in the eyes of the beholder, but they're very large white turkeys, and they're on the White House lawn, and he's having the public vote for their favorite to be pardoned. I'm not sure I like that.
I'm not sure I like it either.
Yeah, something about that bothers me. Anyway, in the U.S., about 280 million turkeys are sold for the Thanksgiving celebrations. Each year, the average American eats somewhere between 16 to 18 pounds of turkey. Californians are the largest consumers of turkey in the United States. That explains a lot about California. Thanksgiving Day is celebrated fourth Thursday in November in the United States. See, it just keeps changing through the years. Although Thanksgiving is widely considered an American holiday, it is also celebrated on the second Monday in October in Canada. Black Friday is the Friday after Thanksgiving in the United States, where it is the beginning of the traditional Christmas shopping season. And these are just some fun turkey facts. The average weight of a turkey purchased at Thanksgiving is 15 pounds. My turkey this year weighs 29.53 pounds. He's so big, I'm hoping he's going to get into the oven all by himself. The heaviest turkey ever raised was 86 pounds, about the size of a large dog. A 15-pound turkey has about 70% white meat and 30% dark meat. The five most popular ways to serve leftover turkey is in a sandwich, stew, chili, or soup, casseroles, and as a burger. Turkey has more protein than chicken or beef. Turkeys will have 35,000 feathers at maturity. Male turkeys gobble. Hens do not. I didn't know that either. They make a clucking noise. Yeah. Commercially raised turkeys cannot fly. Turkeys have heart attacks. Wow. The United States Air Force was doing test runs and breaking the sound barrier. Nearby turkeys dropped dead with heart attacks. Well, that's pretty strange. A large group of turkeys, a large group of called a flock. Turkeys have very poor night vision. It takes 75 to 80 pounds of feed to raise a 30-pound tom turkey. A 16-week-old turkey is called a fryer. A 5 to 7-month-old turkey is called a young roaster. It's amusing that they call, instead of a toddler and a teen, they refer to it as how you cook it. That's kind of amusing. I found many, many articles, but I thought they were all very funny and very cute. But I liked the, my family and I just had a discussion. One of the kids said to me, how come Thanksgiving is not the third Thursday? And I said, you know, I always thought it was the third Thursday, too. And then I got thinking about it, and I thought it was the last Thursday. So no wonder I'm confused, because it keeps changing.
Yep.
What has always been your tradition, Shell?
You mean as far as how my family celebrates or which Thursday?
How you celebrate.
Well, I mean, growing up, it was always, like you said, like feast day. I mean, we were always conscious of what the holiday was about, you know, that it was about, you know, being thankful and stuff. So we would be conscious of that. But it was always about the standard meal. Now, you know, when I was growing up, I wasn't a vegetarian, so we did have the classic, you know, turkey and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and string bean casserole, that kind of thing. A bunch of pies, you know, pumpkin pie, blueberry pie. We didn't really do much with cake. It was mostly pies. Cake reason didn't feel so much Thanksgiving as it did for other holidays. So we always had a whole bunch of pies and maybe cookies and like brownies and that kind of stuff, but mostly fruit pies. And then, you know, so it was always festive like that. I remember after I got married, Charlie's family is Sicilian. My ex-husband's family was Sicilian. And I celebrated Thanksgiving with them 1 year, and then I was going to go and see my family the next day. And I remember they didn't have any of that. They had, like, all kinds of seafood and weird vegetables, and I was like, I felt cheated. I'll never forget that. It was such a weird experience. I couldn't wait to get to my mother's house the next day for leftovers, because I really felt like I got gypped out of my Thanksgiving. I looked forward to this meal all year long, and then I didn't think anybody had any other meal but that. And obviously I was wrong, because they were Sicilian. They actually moved here from Sicily, and so everything was very Italian. Half the vegetable dishes I didn't even recognize, and it was all seafood. I mean, they even had octopus. And so I felt really, really cheated out of my Thanksgiving dinner. It was warm and beautiful and festive, but it was very, very cultural to the Italian culture and not to the American culture. So that's when I learned that not everybody, you know, has turkey and stuffing.
Mhm. Well, I too grew up. Well, when I was very small, we moved to Florida the first time when I was 11 years old, and prior to that, we lived in upstate New York, and our Thanksgiving was very traditional. We went to my grandmother Riley's house, and would have a big feast. On my dad's side, I had 21 cousins, so it was a big to-do. And Grandma had a big house, but it would be filled to capacity. And in those days, of course, you had breakfast nooks, you had huge kitchens, you had pantries, you had a formal dining room and a living room, and she had a back porch and a front porch in her house. And I loved that house when I was a little girl, and there would be a kids' table in the kitchen, and the big table in the dining room would have additions on it to seat all the adults. And, of course, it would also mean Mass, because we were raised Catholic, often early on Thursday morning. So there was that, and then we moved, and then also one day out of that week we would spend time with my mom's mother and father, but that would often be at our house. They would come to our house because by that time they were on the road all the time. My grandmother and grandfather, my mother's parents, were, I don't know, they were, I loved them to death, but they were not traditional in any sense of the word.
Right.
And they traveled a lot and did a lot of different things. I mean, now I would consider them more a part of today's grandparents than I did back then. Most grandparents were like the Riley side of my family, and my mom's side of the family was a little bit, I think they finally settled in a small trailer when they were in their 60s. And calmed down a little bit and quit traveling. But they had kids all over the United States, so they just go to all the kids' houses, drive. Cecil
drove
all over, you know, my grandmother. So, but they would come to our house for Thanksgiving, and it would be a traditional turkey and all the fixings and everything, and usually not the array of desserts that you see at parties now. There would usually be a pumpkin pie and an apple pie, I remember. And it was an all-day thing. And then late in the evening, there would be turkey sandwiches on white bread with Miracle Whip. Isn't it funny, the things you remember? And now, of course, by the time my kids were, I don't know, I would say my oldest was like maybe 6 or 7. And they're, you know, I had all four of them in 5 years, so David was probably 2. I started doing Thanksgiving dinners and have been doing them ever since. So for at least 38 years, I've been the one who prepares dinner and, you know, and has everybody over. This year there will be about 35 people here, and I am a vegetarian. I would like to be a stricter vegan. I'm not, but I am a vegetarian and have been for what, Shelley, now about 8 years, probably right around there.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, but I prepare a turkey and a ham. I prepare all kinds of stuffings. I stuff the turkey, and I make an oyster stuffing. And because my brothers and sisters, my side of the family, my mom and my dad, all loved seafood. So lobster and crab and stuff like that when we lived here in Florida was something that we ate a lot. So I make an oyster dressing. And then, of course, sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes and gravy and broccoli and corn and green bean casserole and all that kind of stuff. So we have a really, really big feast. And then for dessert, I have other people bring dessert, and we always have pumpkin pie and apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big deal. But the most important part about Thanksgiving for me is I'm a gatherer, in case everybody hasn't picked up on that. I am a gatherer, and I think we are better when we don't stand alone all the time. I think we are more receptive to other people's personalities and other people's way of life. I think it opens your empathy and your understanding of the differences of all of us. So I want to share one other Thanksgiving, then I'm going to make Shelley tell us some stories about transitioning in her tofurkies and some of the things that I know she's prepared for those of you something different. But in my history as a manager, many of the hotels that I managed, my staff would be all different kinds of people, especially my housekeeping staff. I would have a couple American black, have Haitian women.
I would have Jamaican women. I would have, of course, a balance of older women who had been in the hotel business for years and would often be my my supervisors in the housekeeping department, or they would run the laundry or something like that. Well, many years ago, I thought to myself, a lot of them didn't have big families. So I, of course, decided that it would be fun for us to have a Thanksgiving dinner together. And hotels are 24/7. If you've never worked in a hotel or in a restaurant, you know, holidays are something that you better get used to celebrating with the rest of the world, because you usually aren't working that day. So one of my favorite stories is I'm managing a hotel on Fort Lauderdale Beach, and I said to all my girls and a few of my guys, I want to have a Thanksgiving dinner here. I will bring the biggest turkey I can find. I will cook it at home, and I will prepare mashed potatoes and gravy and all of the above. Everything else I want to come from each one of you. Well, let me tell you, it was the most amazing Thanksgiving dinner I've ever had. We had things from homemade macaroni and cheese, which I never think to have for Thanksgiving, and I totally love. We had banana pudding. We had collard greens with all kinds of salt pork and salty, I don't know, some other kind of a vegetable or something. It was like a rutabaga or something in with all of that. Things I've never tried before. It was absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. The only thing I couldn't take in is some of my Jamaican friends would make, I can't do hot, never been able to, and their food is incredibly spicy, but beautiful. I mean, so major recipes that call for like 10 ingredients, you know, in one casserole dish. It was one, I managed that hotel for about 4 years, and every year we did that, and every year we'd get better and better. So I love embracing other people's tradition. And then when I read that on this paper that I printed about the original Thanksgiving, I thought to myself, how funny is that? Because if somebody told me they were having lobster for dinner right now, I'd think to myself, wow, that's really out of sync. But it isn't. And it doesn't surprise me that they had rabbit and chicken and even fish, but lobster really caught my eye. But it's fun to widen your horizons and know how other people prepare things. A lot of my Jewish friends have a lot of their traditional Jewish dishes or Hebrew dishes. I don't know what you do call them. I hope I'm being politically correct here. I'm probably not, but I enjoy listening to those, you know, the knishes and the canoodles and the this and the that. I love knowing about kind of things, and it's fun to be diverse and to do something a little different every now and then. And the reason I want Shelley to talk is because I'm a vegetarian. Last year, Shelley came over to my house, which she has done on years gone by, for Thanksgiving. And she brought a vegan turkey with stuffing and gravy, and it was delicious. So, Michelle, a little bit about what you prepare, you and Nina prepare for Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, and it's fun, too, because I still maintain the traditional meal for myself. I just do it in a vegetarian or vegan way. And interestingly, before I go into that, you know, if people say, you know, the traditional meal, well, really not a lot of what we're doing today is traditional. It became traditional along the way, but it's not what the original pilgrims ate. I even read somewhere that they ate venison back then, they didn't eat turkey back then. There was no turkey at the original meal. So for people to call it Turkey Day or have turkey be the bird that's used for Thanksgiving is something that happened afterwards. It's not what the original pilgrims ate. So it is kind of funny how things get changed through history, and then we think that's what it all started out as being. You know, we kind of modify things as we go along. And then, you know, and it's important not to lose what the day is all about, by calling it Turkey Day or Feast Day, you know, I mean, that's cute, but by calling it those things, you miss what the day was really all about, and it's about family. We do so much. We've talked about this when we worked at Hippocrates. So much of our emotion is caught up in food, comfort foods, things like that. So we look at particular holidays, like birthdays. You always want to have a birthday cake. Easter has its particular foods that we think about. But any of these holidays are very, very wrapped around the meal because food to us is emotional. It inspires different types of festive feelings. And Thanksgiving is probably one of the most festive around food holidays there are. It's really all about the meal. So when I became vegetarian, I wanted to maintain that. Now, I was a raw foodist for a while, but when it came to Thanksgiving, because I was raw foodist for about 2.5 years, and when it came to Thanksgiving, I did go ahead and have my cooked, but I made it a vegan meal. The first year I tried a tofurkey, and I think tofurkey is very good, but you have to follow the directions on the tofurkey package. I deviated from the directions, and when it came out, it was like not even edible. It was just awful. And I was like, wow, so many of my vegetarian friends were eating tofurkeys. So the next year I tried it again. I followed the directions, and it came out perfect, so I could see. But since then, I found another meat substitute called Gardein, G-A-R-D-E-I-N. You've tried Gardein's, Reenie, right?
Yeah.
There's different versions, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, Gardein makes all kinds of meat substitutes, beefless tips, chicken scallopini patties. They have meatballs, all kinds of stuff. It's all in the frozen food. They sell it at Publix and Winn-Dixie and Whole Foods. So they're very, very available. They're out there. They're made mostly from pea protein, which is a very good source of protein for vegetarians, not so much soy, some wheat gluten, though. So if you're gluten intolerant, it's something you have to consider. But it's a very good product. And the texture and the taste of these meat substitutes is above par. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the best out there. So now I get the Gardein roast. It's much easier to prepare than the tofurkey. And generally what I'll do is I'll take that I pretty much just put it in a little bit of juice. You know, like I'll take maybe some Bragg's, a little bit of orange juice, some herb seasonings, and then I'll cut up some carrots and onions, and I'll put it in a pan, and I roast it in the oven together, just like you would roast a regular roast. You're roasting it on a lower heat for a shorter amount of time because it's not an animal product, and it's sort of like pre-prepared, so you're not cooking it as long. It takes about an hour to make the whole meal. Very, very simple. It tastes wonderful. And then you get all the flavor exchanging from the vegetables to the roast. And then I make my regular side dishes. I don't like sweet stuff. A lot of people they like the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top. I go the other way. I like things very salty and spicy. So when I make my sweet potatoes, I steam them. I don't boil them. So I'll steam I cut it up. I peel it and I cut it up, and then I steam it. And then when I mash it, I put in garlic powder, some herbs, and some Earth Balance. Earth Balance is a delicious vegan butter spread. It's non-hydrogenated. It's completely vegan. There's no animal products in it whatsoever. They have a soy version. They have a coconut oil version. They have an olive oil version. I get the organic soy, but they also have an olive oil version. So, but they're all vegan. They're delicious, and they cook down like butter. They're healthier than margarine because they're non-hydrogenated, but they're free from all the animal fat. So it's a very good, very tasty product. So I'll put the Earth Balance in, garlic powder, herbs, and I mash up my sweet potatoes. And it's usually a hit every year. People that go with the sweet potatoes taste mine, and it's very herby and spicy, and they like it because it's like a change of pace. And then I have my green bean casserole and a big salad and things like that. Cranberry sauce and stuffing. You know, I make the stuffing. So I get my traditional meal, but it's completely vegan because of the ingredients I use. They're all vegan ingredients. So I get to have my familiar meal that gives me that comfort from the holidays. It reminds me of all the family get-togethers because that's what the food takes me back to. and yet I'm still honoring my new lifestyle, which I love so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will say that Shelley is a very good vegan preparer. Dishes that I prefer over any. She used to make us a vegan macaroni salad, and of course she'd use veggie macaroni, and she'd use a vegan almost
chicken.
What was that, Shelley? It was a supposed to be chicken.
It was a vegan chicken substitute. It's called Veet Meat. I don't even buy it anymore. Now I use the Gardein chicken. But I was getting this product called Veet, V, like in Victor, V-E-A-T, meat. And they had a chicken version and a beef version. I don't even see it sold anymore. They may sell it somewhere, but I don't see it in Whole Foods anymore. And I used to make it with that. And now I just make it with other chicken substitutes, and I'm going to the Gardein now. But, it was fun because I would take I would try to get the tri-colored pasta, so there would be the spinach and the carrot and the regular pasta in there. I'd get some good organic ram. And then I would mix in I would saute up some of the mock chicken, dice it up, and then I'd put in peas. I'd put in frozen peas while the pasta was boiling down. So I'd dunk the peas in the herb water. And then I'd dice up, like, red peppers, tomatoes, corn. I'd also put corn in there, frozen peas and corn, and I'd mix it all together. So it was very colorful, but it had a lot of flavor.
Yeah, I love it. One of my favorite dishes. Because I'm the only one here that eats that kind of food, I don't make it very often, but I have made it before when I have a lot of friends that are either vegetarian or prefer to eat that way. They may not be hardcore vegetarians, but they try not to eat a lot of meat. And on that note, I'm not trying to make everybody not eat their turkey tomorrow. I just am saying that if it is your choice, there are some really delicious substitutes for all of those kind of things. If you are in a place where you're supposed to be being careful about what you eat, and you know that it makes a difference, and you know that you feel better if you don't eat certain meats, there are ways to still get that comfort without jeopardizing your personal health.
And a lot of the meat eaters, because I don't serve meat in my home anymore, you know, I'm not fanatical about it. I don't expect people to eat that way if we go out to a restaurant. But in my home, I don't serve meat. And yet I have a lot of meat eaters that will come over and eat meals or something, and they never feel deprived. They're actually pretty surprised that they like the food. In fact, sometimes they'll actually say that to me. Wow, I didn't expect to like this, but it's really good. You know, and they'll have seconds or something. That's always the telltale sign. If they ask for seconds, and then you know that they're not BSing you.
Right. Yeah, that is a good sign. That is a good sign. And let me ask you something else about Thanksgiving. On tomorrow's show, I have organized a few people. A lot of people are kind of crazy busy tomorrow morning, and they weren't able to participate in this. But I got that are willing to do it, and I've asked them to call in the show and talk about what they're for. And I think, like I said, I first started the show today, is we need to reflect, truly, truly, truly need to reflect on what's going on in our world. We all live here. It's not like you can ignore it or pretend it's the next door neighbors fighting and you know it, so you turn up the TV. It's not like that. This is where we all live. This is where our children will live. Our children's children will live. And unless we really don't, I doubt that's true of most of us, I think we need to start making some choices that are more supportive of each other, of all of us. Like I said, the news, and of course it's always true during the holidays, November and December has a very, very high crime rate, has a very, very high crime that has to do with family. You remember a couple of years ago when one of our news people on one of our local channels, I guess it was his brother-in-law or something, I don't remember the family connections, but they had a big Thanksgiving dinner, and this man came in and shot everybody in the family.
Oh, my God, yes, yes, yes.
And
yeah, it's sad that the stress of the holidays, that the true meaning of the holiday gets lost with all the commercialism, and people think it's about giving gifts and about having to come up with money, and it's like so not what the holidays are about. It's never what they were supposed to be about, and people get lost in the hype and the commercials and their kids saying, I want this and I want that, and it's a terrible time that people don't, if they stayed with what the holiday was supposed to be about, then they would stay in a good place, but they don't. They get lost in the commercial aspect of the holiday, which has nothing to do with what they were originally all about, talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah. You know, so it's a shame. Because I remember growing up, there were a couple of Christmases where we were really poor. And yet, my parents didn't get all stressed out and all that. What they did is they told us, look, they didn't make us worry. But we knew that we couldn't just get anything we want, but they made us appreciate what we did get. They made us appreciate what we had and what we did get. They didn't let us go there because we followed their lead and because they didn't get all upset and depressed. So they taught us a good value at like 8 years old. You know, I learned then that, you know, that you're going to have, the way my parents explained it is you're going to have ups and downs in life. Sometimes you're going to be up and you're going to have money to do whatever you want to do. There's going to be times that you're going to be down just because that's the way life goes, you're up and down. And when you're in a downswing, stay in a good place, stay appreciative and thankful because you're going to go back up again. You never stay where you are. And you just have to, it's like being on a roller coaster ride. When you're up, throw your hands up, enjoy the ride, and when you're coming back down again. And it's funny because I heard this in a Steve Martin movie years later, and it was kind of how I was raised. And I was like, oh, my God, that's such a cool concept, you know. But so many people don't go there, and it's all about the gifts, and it's all about spending this, and it's all about getting the kid the latest technology. And I think that's one of the reasons why kids today don't appreciate because they expect, because they have to have this or their life isn't worth living if they don't have this latest thing or this pair of sneakers or whatever, and they're not learning appreciation. You know, nobody has to do anything for you, and I was taught that at a very young age, so I appreciate every little thing, but it makes my life more enjoyable because I appreciate, because I don't expect. If something good comes to me, I'm just so elated, you know, and that appreciation makes my life better. And I think this is something that kids today are missing, that being taught to appreciate. Appreciate what you have and everything that comes to you, you know. So I just think it puts life in better perspective.
That's a life lesson, what you just said. Learning to appreciate the things you have and appreciate the things that come your way and not believing or expecting everything to come your way that you just wake up this morning and think you really need or really have to have. However, in defense of teenagers, I believe in my heart that a lot of times it's from outside influences. And the same with some adults I know. You know, it's like one of the kids said to me the other day, Grandma, you would never go back to a flip phone, would you? And I looked at him and I said, you know, that's so funny you say that. If I could get a flip phone that let me have a big enough screen so I could see it good enough, and I would.
I love my flip phone. I'd go back to a flip phone in a heartbeat if I could do all the things that my Android does. Yeah. I loved my flip phone.
My flip phone had better connection. But you see somebody with a flip phone today, and you look at them like, oh, my God, look at that old phone they have. You know, But it's just one of the things that has gotten so ridiculous. How about the fact that every kid has to have an Android phone, an iPad, a laptop, and then we have tablets, we have, I'm like, why do you need all those things? They all do the same damn thing. Why do you need them all?
Right, right.
To be honest with you, well, if your parents
thing about were, something you said a moment ago, Rini, I mean, this is an up show, and I'm going to keep it up, but I do want to make one quick comment because we have Black Friday coming up. And a dear, dear, dear friend of mine, somebody you know, by the way, was just robbed at the store coming out of one of the malls. Her car was parked, two cars from the entrance. I mean, this is like right at the entrance. And as she came out, a man ran past her, shouldered her, grabbed her handbag, and just kept running. I mean, he almost knocked her down. He knocked her into her car. She started chasing him and started screaming for people to stop him because she wanted her purse back, but he was running too far, got away, but she was very upset. She called the police immediately. They got the mall security involved. They ended up finding other people. There were witnesses that saw this guy running, so they kind of knew where he was. The bottom line is they did finally catch him the next day, by the way. They got her purse back, but not her wallet. But they did get her house keys and her car keys, so that was all good. That's what she was more worried about, that than the credit cards, because she could cancel her credit cards, and nothing had been spent on any of her credit cards. But all her keys were there. She was more worried about that. But the next day, they had found one of the videos, actually caught the whole thing on video, and then they were able to track him around, because they have videos all over the wall of the mall, you know. They actually saw him where he went. They were able to go from video to video to see where he went. They saw him in one area dumping the purse. That's how they found her purse, but he kept the wallet. They found the purse, and he had taped a knife to his wrist, which means if she had caught up with him, he would have stabbed her because you see him taking the knife off and throwing it in the dumpster. And then once they got the fingerprints off that, they found out that this guy had attacked two other women at other malls, and one is in the hospital, still in the hospital. She's conscious now, but she was injured very badly. And so this is just a shout-out. You know, don't be worried. Don't fret about this, but be careful. Don't wear your handbags over, like, don't put it over your right shoulder hanging down your side. Put it over your neck, keep it in front of you, almost like in a belly bag position, or you can wear a light jacket or something that's not hot because we live in Florida. Wear it under clothing. It makes it too difficult for them to target you. They want somebody they can literally run past. And especially now with all the holiday shopping starting, you're going to be seeing a lot more of this, unfortunately. So people just have to be a little bit more alert. Don't worry, because worry is not a good emotion. But be a little proactive in protecting your money. If you can wear a belly bag instead of a purse, that's even suggestible. But just know where it is, have it protected, have it in front of you instead of to the side, and don't set your purse down for even a second, because these people will watch for people to do that, run, grab it, and take off. So make sure you always know where your purse is at all times.
Well, and of course you're right. I don't think it's unwise to remind everybody that they have to be careful. I do think that's a good idea. I'm glad you brought that up. It is that time of year, and as much as we talk about love and support and friendship and all the other things and being thankful to be alive, being thankful that you're not fighting for life this morning, that you got up and you breathe and you can walk and you brushed your teeth and you combed your hair and you took a shower and you have a shower to take. Some of these things you can't take for granted because there are people right now that weren't able to do any of those things this morning for myriad of reasons. But But being safe is just smart. And
mm-hmm.
I agree with Shelley. You ladies with your matter of fact, the grandchildren said to me the other day there was something on the news where, well, this game where they punch people and stuff like that, and all the kids saw it on the news, and they said, Graham, what would you do if somebody smacked you like that? And I said, I'd clean their clock. And they all laughed and said, yeah, we don't got to worry about that. You know, so I was like, I laughed to myself, and I thought, yeah, right, if somebody cold cocks me in the jaw, I'm down for the count, probably, but, you know, it doesn't do me any to admit to that, so I'm going to stand my ground. But it is a time to be aware. Be aware of your surroundings. When you go into a parking lot, into a big mall, please remember where you park. Don't be like Renee and get lost for 3 hours trying to find your car. Please attention to, you know, the packages you bring back, where you put things. Don't throw things in the back seat of a car. If you don't have room in your trunk, don't get it yet, because you entice people to break into your car when you have all kinds of goodies locked in your car. A lock
right.
will not stop. They really want it. And you're all going to laugh at me when I say this, but, you know, some of these people are doing it because it's the only way they figured out how to survive. So you still have to have a little bit of understanding about what's going on. I'm not asking you to forgive anybody for being a thief or forgive anybody for hurting someone else. But you do have to think about what brought them there so that maybe you can have a little bit less anger in your own heart. So I know I feel the eyes rolling as I said that all over. People going, oh my God, you know. But it's the truth. You know, it's the people that give us the biggest problems that need us the most. Please don't ever forget that. The people
well,
that
you know,
give you
I mean, I agree with that, you know, in talking about this dear friend of ours that this happened to, and she's a great example for people to follow. First of all, she's not afraid to go shopping. She didn't allow herself to become victimized. She actually feels that it was a good experience because she remained level-headed. She didn't panic. She didn't freak out. Once she found out that the guy had the knife taped to his wrist, now she feels lucky she didn't catch up to him. But she almost feels that this happened to her to allow her to take somebody dangerous off the street because he had already injured two women prior to her, and it stopped with her because she was very insistent. She insisted they get the videos, and because she was so insistent that she was relentless. She would not let the police not follow through in this, and because she was so persistent, they got the tapes, and they caught the guy. They caught the guy 24 hours later. So she feels grateful that she protected people. She doesn't hate this man, all right? She feels compassion for him because obviously for him to be that angry and that greedy, he's not okay. So she doesn't hate him. She feels compassion towards him. And, you know, like we believe, she and I are very, very of the same mindset. It's kind of what you just said. The only thing that can heal the world is love. Now, that sounds kind of corny, but it's true. You can't heal anything with hate, anger, or any negative emotion is not healing or creative. The only thing that will fix this world is love and compassion. And then that doesn't mean that you have to love your enemies, but you shouldn't hate them either. Because when people do the wrong thing, they're not okay. They're in a bad place one way or the other. So at very least, feel compassion for them, regardless of what they do and regardless of how bad it is. Because good, you know, people that are okay don't do bad things. It's that simple. So it kind of stirs up a little bit of compassion in you. And so I'm following, you know, I thought she set a good example with that because she doesn't hate this guy. She feels compassion to him, and she didn't allow herself to feel victimized. She actually feels empowered by the fact that she remained so level-headed throughout the whole thing and ended up getting a good result as a result.
And she was here in South Florida, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you who it is later. It's somebody you know, too. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
She lives here in South Florida. She's a dear friend of both of ours.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a, like I said, and like Shelley said, it is a time of year when you have to be careful because there's a lot of people making bad decisions because things aren't right in their life and they're lonely. And this is a time for rejoicing in what we have and appreciating what we have and loving our family. But there are people out there that don't have any of those things. And in a perfect world, we could all just reach out and they'd come and be with us. But it's just not that easy. It's not that black and white. So we do have to be prepared for anything that might be going on in somebody else's head. If you can grasp that without letting it take over your holiday time, all I'm saying is be aware of where you are, what you're doing, and be smart and take care of yourself. You know, I want to tell you all a funny story. Years ago, when we first moved to Florida, we were broke, so broke that, you know, super glue wouldn't have helped. And I bought a $25 car. It was this old Buick. And I went Christmas shopping. And, of course, four kids, even if everybody just gets a couple things, that's a carload. And my trunk wouldn't open. And I was in Boca Raton at a, I think it was called Jefferson's, this huge department store. And I'm going to go in, and I turned around, and I looked at my old kind of a rust bucket and thought to myself, oh, geez, that looks way too tempting. And I went over and I tried to get all the doors locked, and even the doors wouldn't lock right. The driver's door would lock, but none of the other doors would lock, and it was electronic and it wouldn't work. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm almost afraid to go into the store and leave all these packages, these toys and everything, sitting in the back seat of the car. So in the backseat on the floor, one of the kids had left a poster paper that was something that they did in school. So I pulled that out and wrote on it and put it in the window, please beware of snake, he's loose in the car. Put it in. And I thought to myself, yeah, that'll be the day that I'm driving around in a car with a loose snake, first of all. It would keep anybody from trying to open my car doors or take anything out of
them. Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
Funny, I thought about it in years gone by, and I thought to myself, exactly what did I think I was going to accomplish with that? But in the moment, it gave me a little peace of mind so I could go in the store and shop.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you came out, was everything still intact?
Yeah, everything was fine.
Well, then it worked.
But when I think about it now, I think how old was I then? I was like 35.
Oh, my God. That's actually pretty funny, Renee. I think that's the first time I've heard that story. That is pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny.
Wow.
You know, after I did it, I thought to myself, I would die before I got into a car with a loose snake.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious.
Funny. But
that is pretty
funny.
You know,
I'm glad we brought this up. I hadn't even thought about it, but it is incredibly true that we have to be careful this time of year, and we have to be safe, and we have to
but so much of it has to do with our attitude also. I mean, you just said something. You put that sign in the window, and to be honest with you, somebody who's looking to rob you isn't going to care if there's a loose snake in your car. It's only going to scare up the people who would be scared about something like that. You get somebody, you know, who's going to do something bad. They don't care if there's a snake in there. They'll probably want the snake, you know. But the fact that you felt protected and comfortable made it okay. And that's why everything was still there when you got back, because in your head, you weren't in jeopardy anymore. So you went in, and I really believe that our thoughts put out vibrations like that. That's why I made the point before about our friend who, she doesn't feel victimized, she doesn't feel fearful, she's still going out and doing things, she's just being a little bit more aware of her purses. So it's really, really important that when you hear stories like that, you hear things in the news, that you don't engage them, okay? Stay in a good place. As long as you're being smart, you're okay. And so don't go there, you know, don't go into that worry mode. Just be smart, and then you don't have to worry about anything.
Well, and I agree with you. I do think a lot of times it is mind over matter, and what you believe is often the truth. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that that's a good thing. I do want to mention there was a, because I want to talk about it next week, there's a young woman who goes to a very strict religious school, and you may have seen it on the news. She's beautiful, and she wears her hair very natural. She's a young black woman. I didn't pick up what age she was, but I am going to guess that she's like maybe 15, right around there. And I thought her hair exemplified one of the things that are amazing about Negro people have amazing hair. Their follicles are different than ours, so the curl takes a different way. The whole texture of their hair is different, and she wears it very full, but she pulls one side back, and her mom put a flower in her hair, and she's been told that unless she trims her hair and shapes it, she will be expelled from this school.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
And I looked at it and I thought to myself, oh, my God, are you kidding me? All the styles and the fantasy stuff. When I was a beautician, a kid in Miami, 16, going to beautician school, one of the most amazing events that I ever went to was like a fantasy fest with hair. And and look at your models today. Sometimes they look like antenna, their hair. So I want to talk about that next week. I want everybody to think about how they feel about having people tell them. I mean, it's one thing to tell a boy to pull his pants up over his ass. It's another thing to tell a young girl whose heritage is what it is and she's not allowed to make the most of it. I find that deplorable. And
I find that deplorable also.
Yeah, and especially a school that is supposed to be close to God.
Wow.
No, I mean, it's not a parochial school. It was faith something, and they show her playing the violin, so she's probably a great student. All that kind of stuff going for her, and because of her hairdo, they're telling her that she's it. Or be expelled. I think that that's ludicrous.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that next week.
We will talk about that next week. Remember, everybody, if you're out shopping today for the rest of your feast tomorrow, or if you are in a different place than that, I wish you the best today. Please join us tomorrow so we can hear what a lot of different people are grateful for. It may start your day in a good way and put you in a great place. But make the best of today. If you're in South Florida, it's raining all day long. And if you're up north, stay put. Don't go driving anywhere. It's terrible up there. So God bless everybody. Love you, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Thanks, Shel.
Thanks, Rainey, and everyone have a beautiful day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.